السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praise due to God, the creator, the sustainer of the universe. And peace and blessing be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and all the prophet and messenger of God. It made it easy for me to come to your town today because somebody dropped me here. Usually I come late. All the events of Georgetown for the traffic and so forth. I want to thank people who come with me from Adams, helping me to get here. This topic is an important topic because Islam had been associated these days, especially if you turn on your Fox News or CNN sometimes even, you'll hear a lot about Islam and connection with violence and terrorism and so forth. And you hear a lot of experts, quote unquote. It is very interesting for a Georgetown student. I want to tell you that I want some of you to specialize in Islamic studies so we can get a little bit of fair coverage of those experts. Is the only religion that I see in America, most of their experts have nothing to do with the religion itself. But have you heard that, you see somebody said expert in Judaism and has nothing to do with it? Most of the people expert in Judaism either are Jewish or have something to do with it. You know, taught it, you know, or Christians, expert in Christianity. But expert in Islam is always, and most of them, what I heard, maybe I'm wrong, they are not really understanding Islam well, and they come across very negative about Islam. Therefore, this issue of war and Islamic perspective of it, you have heard many quotations. People have quoted Quran, and they become expert in tafsir, interpretation of Quran as well. They tell you what the Quran meant by those verses. Therefore, you heard, how many of you heard this verse that in the news or some of these experts said, it is in the Quran that killed them whenever you find them. You heard that before? That people have quoted this, and they said this is what Islam teaches, and so forth. I would like to address this issue first in the broader perspective. War is bad, isn't it? That's very simple. My daughter said that, Muna. Very simple statement, because war brings destructions. It means taking people's life. And I would like to refer you to Arabic language of the word war. And can I get some of my note here for me? Thank you. See? The word war in Arabic, who knows Arabic here? What's the word war in Arabic? Harb. And harb means literally to salb, means to eliminate, to take something, to vanish something. And that's why the word harb is means to take life, to eliminating life. Sometimes used figuratively, meant to take, eliminate evil. You see it in the Quran also. Therefore, this word, holy war, you heard of this before. You cannot find it in Arabic language, whether in the Quranic text or in the teaching of Prophet Muhammad text. Who knows Arabic here? What is the word holy war will be in Arabic? Harb al-Muqaddasa. I challenge all the experts from the, I'll go with the alphabetical order, without saying their names, so it's okay, to get us the word holy war from the Quran. Which chapter, which passage say that holy war? The word you hear that being translated as holy war is the word jihad, which I'm going to really touch on it. Also, the meaning of the word jihad. Humanity have went through many wars. And if you like to know how bad war it is, you need to visit the museum, the new museum on the mall, what that museum is. World War II. What that?
World War II.
That happened among Muslims?
Yeah.
Muslim did that. This is the world, all the world getting into the war. It started in Europe and then it spread around the world. It was started the civil war, then the colonists and the people who are colonizing different countries to get them to join this war. What Islam says about war. First of all, the norms supposed to be salam, peace. War is really an interruption of peace. And that's why you see in the Quran, the teaching of the Quran, that Muslims should advocate peace and live with other people in peace. War always been in the Quran is an exception. The fight, I mean. And the Islamic scholars have stated the reason for war. Only two reasons, if you're writing notes. All the Islamic scholars agreed on two reasons. The first reason is to stop an aggression on you. The second is to defend someone who cannot defend themselves. And that can happen in the individual level. You walk into the street, I hope that does not happen in Georgetown, but you walk into the street and see somebody attacking a young lady. You don't stand idle. It's an obligation to do something about it from a Islamic perspective. It is a person is not attacking you personally, but attacking someone else's honor. Therefore, you have to come between, or you have to call someone else to bring them to help, a police or something. For you have to do, you have to intervene. You have really to come between to stop the aggressions. And that's why you read in the Quran, when Quran gave them permission even to fight. He said, Allah give permission to those who have been wronged to fight back. Underline the word wronged. There is no verse in Holy Quran. And there is no teaching of Prophet Muhammad where he say fighting or war can be used to commit an aggression against anyone. There's none. And even this verse that I mentioned in the beginning of my speech, I'm going to tell you in which context it's been used. The second, Quran says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنْ النِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ. He said, why don't you fight in the behalf of the oppressed men, women and children? الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا خَرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِي الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ وَأَهْلَهَا. Oh Allah, get us out of this city with the people being oppressing us. It's people being oppressing us. Don't you hear this a lot, those two reasons for people today? Whatever they go to war, they cite those two reasons, the Quranic, Islamic reason. Sometimes wrongly, by the way. They're not true in their judgment. But that's what Islam stated, those two reasons. What is the purpose of people standing up for oppressions and aggressions? Is to bring justice, establish justice, or to bring about fairness and equality. When people take other people's rights, people have to stand for them. Quran does not accept people to be passive. This is a general philosophical principle of it. But I want to talk about the Islamic concept of peace and the value of life. As Muslim, we believe that all people, whether they're born in America, or born in Iraq, or born in Palestine, or born in the Middle East, or born in India, wherever they may be, their life have the same value in the eyes of God. And Quran specifically said, مَنَ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ كَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Quran said clearly, with no any second interpretation for it, He said, whoever killed one life and take one life was no right to do so as if have taken the life of all humanity. Let me take you in a very philosophical explanation of this verse. In Islam, we believe that life of individuals implies all humanity. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he have taught us this. He have seen a man beating a young person, hitting him. He said, stop, stop, like this, and he shouted in Arabic. He said, the voice was so angry, you know, he said, I could not know who was calling me, the person who narrated the story. He said, I look and it was Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Muhammad said to him, don't ever do this. You have to remember that God have created Adam in the image of this young man. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. And then he said something very important. He said, remember the power of God over you, not your power over him. Because I'm going to tell you the reasons that people go to war. What people use now, what we call it just war, the war for a cause, you know, a good reason. But usually, those war that take place between in humanity because something has gone wrong of the following reasons. Either there's a grudge and hatred among particular groups, or belittling other group. You know, my home country, Sudan. British came to Sudan, colonized Sudan, and they killed the Sudanese who were fighting with the sword in thousands of people. And if you are, as a Georgetown student, I'm going to ask you to examine history a little bit about Sudan and read the collapse of Khartoum. When Jordan, he was in Sudan. There's thousands of people who have died, and they killed them with no mercy. For what reason? They went to Sudan to promote peace. They went there as a colonist. Therefore, belittling people, believing that you're a better race, you would deserve to conquer the world. The third, is of wealth, fight for wealth, accumulation of wealth. And look what happened in colonism. People have taken the wealth from a country like Sudan, the cotton, to enhance the center of the British Empire, for example. Or look what happened in the French colonialism. We talk about freedom, justice, equality in France. We crossed the ocean or the water and we killed 1 million Algerians. All war around ideology and belief, that my belief is better than yours, therefore I'm going to eliminate you. Islam has an answer for all of these reasons. People go to war. Islam believe that you should not belittle any group of people. You should not feel better than them. And because this is really underlying reason for people committing injustice and violence. Look to even the issue of domestic violence. Let us look to the concept of big concept of war, to the violence in the house, in the family. As a person, an advocate to end domestic violence in this country, I've sat in many boards of domestic violence, we come to know that the main reason of people to abuse others is control. They want to control them. And Islam telling us in the verse in Quran, in Surah chapter 49, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Let not let a group of men belittle other group of men. Don't let a group of women belittle other group of women. You should not belittle other people. You should not look down to them. When we do that, then it becomes easy to abuse them, easy to take their life. And by the way, this is an issue you can see in media today. What makes you think when you sit on TV today, or what makes us think, let us put blame on all of us, that there's every time that we say that somebody died in Iraq, and there is no other people, American soldier, there's no Iraqi have died, civilians. What the statistic? How many of you in political science here in this room? And in political science, international relations, any kind of relations? You know? Okay, good. Now, I want you to check the facts. I want you to bring, to check how many civilians have died since the Iraq war. We need to have a calculation because every person matters. If we count a person from one side, we have to count other person. This also in Middle East issues, in India issue, in Pakistan. We cannot say that a human life is not worth anything when it's not ours. Therefore, what Islam is saying that we have to value the life equally of every child, of every human being. And the other issue that Quran address here, the issue of controlling of issue of control and the issue of wealth. And it is very interesting that if you really examine the war took place, all wars, major wars, when you see the war, look for the money. Seriously, it is most of the time is around this issue. What is oil, what is minerals, whatever it may call it. Now, I'm gonna tell you that there's so many people, Muslims, non-Muslims, have misused religion to justify violence. We have to admit that. Whether that Muslims or non-Muslims have used religion textbooks to take innocent life. I'm going to read you something that I did some exercise with some people in the car with me. Let's go through this. I would like to read to you some passages. And for the Muslim expert, I want you to tell me what this passage is from. Then you must utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show them no mercy. What chapter? What chapter is this? What chapter in the Quran? Does anyone know here? Have you heard this passage before?
Yeah.
Okay, what chapter in the Quran?
I don't think it's in the Quran.
It's not in the Quran, where? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the Torah. This is in the Torah. Then I will quote you another one. It says, when all the efforts to restore peace prove useless, and when all efforts to restore peace prove useless and no words avail, lawful is the flash of the steel. What is that from?
I think that's Quran.
This Quran?
I don't think so.
What that is?
New Testament.
No, it's not the New Testament. Good shot. What book is this? Is all people here are Muslims? Who people of other faith? Okay. Is anyone Sikh here? This is from the Sikh scripture. Okay? Now, I'm going to read another one. May your weapons be strong to drive away the attackers. May your name be powerful enough to check the foes. Let your army be glorious, not the evil. What book is that? From which scriptures? Which religion? Hinduism. Now, from Quran, whoever fights you in the cause of God, then gets, fight in the cause of God against those who fight you, and but aggress not. Quran. Now, I want all the experts in Sikh religion, in Old Testament, and Christianity and Judaism, and Hinduism to be in the same TV show, Fox News, and interpret all the verses equally. Hello? You see what I'm saying? But it's the Quran that being put in the screen, like, this is the passage of the Quran. People misinterpret it. This is the Torah I'm reciting for you. It's the book of Hinduism, of Sikh. You want to tell me that it's only religion of Islam that talk about fight? No. But look what Islam teaches about war. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. First, let me, who knows the word jihad here? Meaning of it in Arabic. What is jihad? Jihad to do what? Struggle. If you go to the website, there's someone, I don't have to mention his name, he been a lot using word jihad to advocate his being expert of terrorism. And he completely did not even take 101 Islam, I think. And I invite him, perhaps maybe I send him an email and offer him a class. I don't think he will come. I looked at his website today. And I want to see how he interpret the word jihad. It's completely a lie. It is not what his even religious book says. He said jihad is a violence fight, that to eliminate Jewish and Christian and our world of other people of the world. What is this about? The word jihad is means to strive and struggle. Who studied economics here? Okay, have you read the book by jihad? Recently in Dan Reeves' show, about talking about jihad, but the book is not about Muslim jihad. He used jihad talking about Wall Street, talking about stock markets and so forth. And she asked him, why you use the word jihad? He said, because I found it very interesting. Word means to struggle, to strive, to have the maximum effort. And he used the word jihad. And his book was buying like that because he was thinking that they're going to talk about jihad of Islam, which is good. He made money out of it, I think. But the word jihad from jahd and juhd. Juhd means to strive, to struggle, to do something, and have different levels. Part of it is to strive to convince someone with an argument, for example. Quran says, وَجَاهِدْتُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Use the Quran to make jihad with people, meaning to argue with them and to express your opinion and to be able to clarify your belief. The word also jihad have been used to strive to clean oneself and to fight the weaknesses of oneself, called jihadun nafs. And also been used to defend oneself physically. Therefore, I have three levels of the word or jihad. Now, even in the time there was a war and fight, Islam has set his rules. Those who also study international relationship, I would like you to go to United Nations website and go to the human rights and the issue of engagement in war and download the Islamic perspective. They're saying that Islam has stated from the time of Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that even if you have to defend yourself and engage in war, you should not kill civilian. What do you call killing of civilian these days? Collateral damage. What that about? How comes you kill children and say sorry for them? You know, what can we do? You know, every person being killed is a family. Can someone take my daughter life and be to convince me this collateral damage? Do you think I will accept that? If someone can take a life of some people who kill other civilians and somebody take the life of the children, you would tell them, collateral damage, you accept that? How comes when other people family, when other people children, when other people women, we call them collateral damage? He said, Prophet Muhammad, do not kill civilians. Don't attack anyone who does not attack you. Don't cut trees. Don't attack place of worshiping. Those who isolate themselves away, don't engage with them in war. He prohibited them from doing that. You read that in the United Nations website, a quotation from Islam on this issue. The other issue that he said, Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, one of the great Muslims leaders, the first Muslim leader after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said to his army general, he said, do not attack and take the life of children. Don't cut trees. Don't poison water. Don't destroy water. And we see that's done every day. When the Soviet Union was in Afghanistan, they were used to drop poison water on the water, drinking water, so that they kill Afghans. I want to conclude by saying this, because us members, it's very good keeping time. How can we avoid wars? How can we promote peace? This university, I think people are very active. Am I saying the right thing? I think so. Very active in promoting political awareness. Therefore, I'm going to suggest something. First, in order to have peace, we have to promote justice across the globe. Justice for all. White, black, Muslims, Hindu, Jewish, Christians, everyone. Justice for all. We have to fight bigotry and racism and self-interest against other people's interests. We have to make our belief in values of freedom and justice universal. I cannot be in the United States a person who believes that I should not abuse others, people in the prison should not be abused, but across the ocean I do that. I cannot believe that I have to live life of prosperity here, but across the world I see hunger and I see fight and I don't do anything about it. And we should stop this greed for power of creating all of these nuclear weapons around the world, which is you're going to come back and hunt all humanity. People have to stand strongly against such a thing. And I would like to really conclude by saying this, that there's two areas. There's area of we call concern, and then the area of influence. You hear what I said? Two areas. What are they? The concern is that there's no regard for human lives. Terrorism, taking people's life, people disregarding war, disregarding civilians, killing them around the world. This is an area of concern. The area of influence is here. What you can do as a Georgetown student. Creating awareness, making people to understand, as a Muslim also, for a Muslim student, what Islam stands for. For our friends who are not Muslims, to convey what Islam is about, so people don't stereotype us, and to put our hand together to establish this global justice. But it starts within us, the area of influence. This is my ending of my remarks, and I'm quite sure that you might, especially if you don't like what I said, you might have some questions, and you can entertain those questions.
We're going to be taking written questions now, so if you have any, we'll be around to collect them.
Okay, can you address the phenomena of suicide bombers and the other things? Okay, in Islam, first of all, that a person should not commit suicide to begin with. But it's very important that Islam does not allow killing of civilians. Period. Whether F-16, whether in the, it was suicide bombing. Period. There's a question here, didn't it? Somebody asked about Sudan. Okay, in Sudan, what is the main reason for the conflict? Is it religious, political, tribal? Okay, what conflict? There's two kinds of conflict in Sudan. One of them, southern versus northern Sudanese. That conflict now is ending, and there's a peace treaty. It was always been, had been political, because in the south, there's Muslims and Christians as well. And that since the before the British left Sudan. The issue now take place in Darfur is tribal. There's a two tribe, and by the way, the word Arabs versus black African is a myth. I want to refer you to two reports done by African Americans who went to Sudan, and go and check Sudan.net. Recently, a delegation from African Americans who went to Sudan and came back and said, we do not find these Arabs against black, but there's two tribes fighting one another, really, and there's a tragedy in Sudan because of that fight. But the word Arabs been misused, both of them are black. The word Arab in Sudan been used, and forgive me if you are an Arab sitting here, mean Bedouins, people have no homes, nomads. We call them Arabs. A'rab, like A'rab. And therefore, the media use the word Arabs to indicate this Arab against black. That's not true. All of those people are Muslims. That Darfur region is considered the Quranic region. More people memorize Quran in that region than any place in Sudan. That place used to be an independent, long time ago, Islamic kingdom. The person who used to rule that part of Sudan before colonialism, before British, is called Ali Dinar. And Ali Dinar, who those who want, how many of you want to pilgrimage, want to Hajj? Okay, when you go to Medina, and there's something called Abar Ali. Abar Ali, those are the wells that dig by the money of Ali Dinar from Sudan. That's how they used to rule that region. Unfortunately, there are farmers, and some of them are shepherds. The farmers, the shepherds come always when the drought, there's a drought, they come to the farmers' area, and the fight always takes place over the land, but it used to be resolved with the head of tribe sitting together and resolve the issue, but this time it become very political. Something very stunning, very interesting. War of the South and the North, they said claimed 1 million people life. Been going there for 50 years, never made it to United Nations. There's no United Nations resolution about the war of the South and North. Darfur issue, the United Nations representative from Khartoum said, it's not 50,000 died, although I said life matters. If one person is too many for me, they say about 5,000 people died. I think somebody just made a mistake, put a zero there, no problem. But what happened in this issue here is that things went escalated, and the people call it genocide. There's a fight, many people been displaced, people lost their homes, and they need of help. But at the same time, I want to say there's some kind of exaggeration of some of the problem, but there's a lot of people are suffering. And if you can do anything in Georgetown to help the humanitarian relief, I know that Islamic Relief is doing something about it, please do so. It will eliminate the suffering and help the suffering of the people of Sudan. You mentioned, sometime, maybe I'm looking old, I cannot read well.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please.
All right. Imam Majid, you mentioned two reasons Islam allows for war. During the time of the Prophet, when he marched on Mecca, how can that be seen as self-defense or protection of people who are being attacked?
Excellent. There's not enough time for me to address all of the issue. If you study the Islamic history, the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you will find that in every case that being confronted with war, he wanted peace. Even in Badr, Battle of Badr, he said to there's a man who's riding in a red camel, he said, let us not fight Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad said, I wish they can listen to this man and then call it off. No war. In Battle of Uhud, Prophet Muhammad, he wanted to stay in Mecca. Meccan people have attacked him. In Khandaq, Muslims were attacked. They were staying in Medina, people come on them. In conquer of Mecca, opening of Mecca, Prophet Muhammad, he went to Mecca to do what? To do what? Pilgrimage, Umrah, small pilgrimage. He went there and people of Mecca said, you cannot enter Mecca. Although he's his hometown. And they said to him, we're not allowed this year. They signed a treaty with him for 10 years. The treaty looked as if Muslims have given in some of their rights. Prophet Muhammad went with it because he wanted peace. And he said, Wallahi la yas'aluni amran. He said, by God, if they ask me for any matters that keep this having us from fighting and to save lives, I will accept it. I will go for it. And then he went for it. And that's why Muslims went back to Medina. It's called Hudaybiyah Treaty. And I heard some people that saying that Prophet Muhammad broke his treaty. He did not. Meccan people broke the treaty. And let me explain to you one thing about the verse that I mentioned earlier. If I can have 10 minutes actually, or 3 minutes to explain that. There's two tribes become alliances. One of them was Prophet Muhammad, one of them was Meccan. One of them called Bani Bakr, one of them called Khuza'a. Bani Bakr went to Meccan people at the time, and Khuza'a went to Prophet Muhammad. Khuza'a, not all of them are Muslims, that tribe. Bani Bakr, all of them are not Muslims. The two tribes who made alliances with Meccan and Prophet Muhammad fought one another. In matter of fact, Bani Bakr killed Khuza'a while they're doing their pilgrimage around the Kaaba. They come back to Prophet Muhammad and said, we are your alliance, we were being killed. Prophet Muhammad came to Mecca to protect them because Mecca have broken the treaty. And when that happened, the people who killed them, they run away, about 15 or 20 men, have run away to Taif. That's why Quran say, go after them, of those terrorists who terrorized the Khuza'a in Mecca, said, kill them whenever you find them. They talk about this group of people. Not all of them. Otherwise, Prophet Muhammad entered Mecca, what did he do? When he entered Mecca, all Mecca were Muslims? No. He said to them, go, you are free people. If it's the verse meant to kill people, he could have went and slaughtered all of them. He said, peace, free. You commit aggression against us? No revenge. Do you see what happens sometime in war where people have revenge and eliminating a whole race from the face of the earth? You know what happened in Muslim when Muslim were attacking Spain? Muslims were forced in Europe to change their names, was eliminated, were killed. But Prophet Muhammad did not do that. And that's why this verse has taken out of context. It addressed that particular issue of Hudaybiyah time.
Why is it that, even though a lot of religions address violence in their religious texts, you see almost exclusively Muslims using their ideology to justify the violent behavior?
It's true that you hear that a lot in the news, of course. And I'm going to tell you that myself, I'm troubled with the issue I see sometimes on TV, whether it's beheading or people killing civilians. There's no justifications. No justification was ever from the Quran and teaching the Prophet Muhammad killing innocent people. But at the same time, I would like to explain that many people have misused their text as well. You can see what's happening that now in the Middle East. You can see what happened in Northern Ireland. You can see what happened in India between Hindus and others. People have used the religion all the time to justify violence. But I want to say that it's not the, what the Islam teaches, and that's what the majority of Muslims believe in. I think that's all your questions.
Can you elaborate on what constitutes jihad and give examples?
I thought I addressed that in my speech. Jihad has three levels: to strive, to struggle, to defend your values, your belief, your honor, your property. Also, jihad meant to strive and struggle, fighting your own nafs, your own whims and desires. Therefore, it will not consider jihad to attack people's property. It will not consider jihad to go and commit aggression against people. It will not consider jihad killing innocent people. It will not consider jihad blowing buildings and civilians. It's not considered jihad.
Okay, that's it.